You may remain seated. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in Christ Jesus, who is your resurrection and your life. Amen. In his name, dear fellow redeemed, we live in a season of anticipation. We live in a time of faith. Easter is just around the corner, and the Passion season is a time of anticipation and faith. We're waiting for what is to come. But it's not just the season of the church year. It's the whole Christian life. The whole life of a Christian is anticipation and faith. As we wait for what is to come, as we wait for the completion of all things. But how long can we wait? As sin has its way with us and slays us, leaves us for dead, how long can we wait? How long can we wait when a mother is struck by a tragedy? She bends down to slip on her shoes. She does so thoughtfully, slowly. She was getting ready to go to church that day, and she saw his picture in the hallway. She remembered when she tied his shoes for church. But now he's gone. Her son was taken away in a motorcycle accident. At age 29, he died. And so she gets ready for church, remembering those days of grief where she wondered if she could ever hope again, if she could ever believe again. No one else will ever feel what she felt. It was the grief of a mother. And in it, her son was not the only one who died. A mother died that day in April. It was as if she was walking about in a valley of dry bones. Before we lose all hope, and before we commit this mother to the grave, God must speak. God must speak, for it is his will to cause his good purpose through his word. He will speak and he will say, "By this they will know me." It is his work to breathe his spirit upon those who have been slain by sin. As we wait for Easter, it is the Spirit's work to breathe into us. A living confession of the Apostles' Creed, that third article by which we confess that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So here we are, gathered in a vision of bones. We open our eyes to this word, and we open our ears to this sight, and we walk in God's mind. In a prophet's vision, we walk, and the Spirit breathes, and we respond, "I believe." We turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattle, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. This is the word of God. Let us pray. O Lord God, breathe into us the breath of life, that we may believe in your Son as the resurrection to eternal life. Amen. A great battle had taken place. It was an ambush, a slaughter. Israel was left dead. They had lost hope, faith. They despaired. You see, they've been slain by sin. Death is more than the last physical breath we take. They had died in idolatry and unbelief. There was nothing left but statue and stone in their life. It was a spiritual death, and it was unbelief which had cut them off from God's covenant, from his word, from his spirit, and from the only source of life. He gave them over to what they desired, right into the hands of the enemy, right into the hands of other gods and other nations. Have you ever known anyone who is dead while still living? Sin has a way of defeating us and leaving us for dead, and it begins at our conception when we're born with Adam's original inherent nature. In our flesh, we're dead. Sin is more than a defect to be fixed, or a mistake to be corrected, or a problem to be solved. It's a remnant of a battle that's been lost. And apart from God's Spirit, there is no breath, there is no life, and there's no hope. From the very beginning, the work of the Spirit has been to give life. In Genesis chapter 3, we read of how God breathed into Adam that breath of life, and he became a living being. And then Job also confesses, "The Spirit of God has made me, and it's the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." Apart from God's Spirit, there is no life. And there is no Spirit apart from God's Word. So Luther writes about the Apostles' Creed. Neither you nor I could ever know anything of Christ, or believe in him, or take him as our Lord, unless these were first offered to us and bestowed on our hearts through the preaching of the gospel by the Holy Spirit. It requires a resurrection, and it would happen through the word and through the prophet. God would breathe and make his name known as the resurrection and the life. And then his people respond, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And so God speaks. He commands Ezekiel to prophesy, he commands life, and he sends his spirit into those who are slain. It's the Holy Spirit who breathes life into each one of us, and he gathers us into a community, an army, vast and numerous. Israel will be raised up, and his people will respond, I believe. Verse 10, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. This was more than just bringing back Israel from captivity. It was raising up the New Testament church in Christ, a vast army who are now filled with faith and hope. And he does so with nothing more than a word. He speaks, and the battle which was lost is won. As we confess in the Catechism, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. The Spirit resurrects a people who respond, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church and the communion of saints." They had no hope. They were cut off. They didn't have access to God as the source of life because sin had separated them, even as it separates us. The only way to reunite with God, who dwells in holiness and perfection, is to be forgiven. It's the only way. And the only way to be forgiven is to have sin removed. And the only way to have sin removed is to have that condemnation carried out, so God would make himself known. He would die for his people. One man would die eternal death for all. He rides on a donkey into Jerusalem, ironically, right into defeat, in the valley of bones which are scattered about. He's the only one that can bring forgiveness. And he would do it in his own death, as we read from Romans. "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh." Jesus was slain for us on account of our sins. We could never resurrect what is dead in our life. Only he could. And so he becomes Israel. He becomes us. He becomes our death, and he becomes our resurrection. Because he satisfies that condemnation that's against you, the sins you've committed, and pays for them, death can't hold him, and death can't hold you. When he rises, you rise. And when he stands victorious, you stand forgiven. The Spirit daily and richly forgives sins to me and all believers. He does it through the church. He does it right here, the forgiveness of sins confessed and received. The prophet speaks and the Spirit comes daily and richly, either through a private service of confession and absolution, or publicly as we participate in baptism, in absolution. In the Lord's Supper, the Lord forgives daily and richly and sends his Holy Spirit in the proclamation of the gospel to each of you to raise you up in confidence and faith. A people respond, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." It really is all about anticipation and faith, isn't it? Easter is just around the corner and we're waiting. So how long can we wait? They had waited 4 days. They had waited 4 days for Jesus to come. Lazarus had been sick. He was ready to die, and Jesus was nowhere to be found. It took him 4 days to get there. Why the delay? Surely he could have done something. He has power over sickness. He has power over every one of your problems. Why would he delay? Why would he make you wait? Martha grieves. She grieves for her brother, and she knows he's dead. It seems Jesus has done nothing. She knows he will rise on the third day, on the last day, but for now, he's dead. We live in a season of anticipation, a time of waiting for God to restore what's gone wrong, for him to make right the problems that we face. We face the battles as an army in Christ, gathered together and joined into the Holy Christian Church. And only God's Spirit can raise us up. God will have the last word. He will speak and he'll bring forth life. He will say, "By this they will know me. When I've opened your graves, O my people, I will put my Spirit in you and you shall live." He will be known when he raises us up, body and spirit, to the resurrection of eternal life. He speaks, and standing right in front of us now is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is a living prophecy who lives among us and stands before us to say, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks the question, do you believe this? Faith in the resurrection is life now. It's not something far off, it's here right now. Whoever lives and believes in him lives today. And so we're in the living presence of our Savior, and where he is, we live also. Where we receive his body and blood, he stands with all power, and he does so in just two words. Lazarus, come forth. In just two words, he commands life, and the bones live. We anticipate it with faith. He will come again with one word of his mouth. He will cause you to come forth from your graves. He'll open them up, and you, flesh and bones, the same person, will be glorified. And so in the Apostles' Creed is a living hope that Easter is just around the corner. And we confess, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. There is life. There is hope. There's life and hope even for a mother who grieves. She finishes slipping on her shoes. She's getting ready to go to church. It's been 2 years now since the death of her son. She looks up at his picture, and she remembers that feeling. How she wondered if she could ever hope again, ever believe again. But she knows that Easter is just around the corner. She looks at his picture purposefully every Sunday before she goes to church. Because she knows when she goes to church, that's where he'll be. And so she gets ready. With that word and that picture in her mind, she thinks of what was read on his funeral day. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And so she goes to church with that picture in her mind. And as she sits down and looks up to the communion ware on the altar, it's as if she can almost see her Dylan there, alive. She knows that as she receives her Savior's body and blood, that he's with her. She has that picture fresh in her mind. And with the word of Christ, she is able to respond. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen.